Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, here joined with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church, and we're extremely grateful that you have tuned in, and we are excited to bring this broadcast to you today. We thought that we would look at a subject that is very important in our day, and that is the signs and wonders ministry and this sort of approach to a focus on signs, dreams, visions, wonders, asking the great question, is this still in play? Is this still happening today? Is it biblical? And how can we be discerning? How can we be discerning and weeding through all this as to what is truth and what is not? Because, Wes, how many times have we heard it? Someone who runs off, they're fascinated by some great prophet today who told them that they spoke to God and did some great sign or something in front of them. We know Benny Hinn stuff going on, and they are just won over with this approach to what is a form, I suppose, of Christianity, but I would say really denies its power. You know, how do we approach this today? What is our perspective? You know, we're drawing lines here in some way,
yeah,
aren't we?
And we have to. You know, as you mentioned, these things are very popular. A few months ago, there was the Lakeland Revival. There was a figure from, I think he's even a local man from Abbotsford who was involved with that. And people were drawn into that. People were convinced that this was the real thing, that there were actually healings going on. And as time went on, it became clear that this was not entirely the case. And also the fact that the person involved with this was not living an upright, godly life. And so that also draws the credibility of these things into question. The important thing for us, Chris, is that our foundation is the Word of God. You know, we've mentioned on this program before the principle of sola scriptura, and that has to be central. That has to be absolutely foundational for anybody. For any issue that you're considering with regards to the Christian faith, the Word of God has to be your standard and your norm. We always have to go back to the Word of God. So that's what we want to do with you today as well.
Well, and this is the great issue that we're dealing with. The great issue is when people are claiming to have an extra revelation from God, a sign or a vision or a dream, that is added revelation in addition to the Word. Now, you're either going to take very seriously the warnings in Scripture or you're going to completely ignore them. We have the very clear warning in Revelation that if anyone adds to the words of the prophecy of this book, you know, the plagues written in this book are going to be added to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that you just can't write that off. You better consider that very seriously. Is the Word of God all we need? What I'm struck with, Wes, is the focus today with these sort of approaches to ministry. You know, I heard recently of one in Vancouver, and this man claimed that he had witnessed the raising of the dead, a man raised from the dead, and they're going to do healings and all these things and are inviting all these people in. You ever notice how the Word of God is shoved to the side in these services? When do you ever get in these services an explanation, a bringing to bear of the Word of God on people's consciences, and a correcting and a focus on the greatest issue, the need to be saved from judgment and sin and hell. From God's wrath. You don't have any of this focus.
No, exactly.
All temporary.
Yeah.
All temporary.
I think you're exactly right. The Word of God is what's at stake here. What value do we place on the Word of God? Is the Word of God central for our spiritual life, or are these other things central? And through the history of the church, you know, we've seen these movements before. We've seen these elements before. During the time of the Reformation, there were those who did exactly these sorts of same sorts of things, made these same sorts of claims, but they were disregarded by Protestants because it was a movement away from the Word of God, whereas the Protestant Reformation was a movement to the Word of God, back to the Word of God, having the Word of God as central in our worship, in our piety, in our walk of life, in everything.
That is the key. I mean, this is the crucial issue. It's really quite simple. What has God spoken?
Mm-hmm.
What has He said?
And even
where do we find that?
And even if we look at the time of the apostles, if we look, read the book of Acts, for instance, yes, we do read about healings and miracles and speaking in tongues and so forth. But what really stands central in the book of Acts is the preaching.
Yes.
You find over and over again, you find the record of all these sermons that were preached by the apostles. You know, and then these same apostles left us with all these books of the Bible as well, which is also, you know, further teaching and expounding the message of the Word of God. I think that's what we need to keep coming back to, is the Word of God, the preached Word.
All right, I heard, and don't be deceived by this, I heard a radio preacher the other day say that, you know, the focus of Jesus was all on the miracles and the supernatural. And I said, no, that's exactly wrong. Actually, the focus of Jesus, and you read this in Mark 2, the focus of Jesus was on the preaching of the kingdom. And he was concerned that people were following him for the signs which he did and would not come to him in true faith.
They wanted him as an emergency room, but they weren't happy to have him as a savior from sin and a savior from the wrath of God against sin. And I just wanted to draw attention to another important passage of scripture here, and that's Romans 10, verses 14 to 17. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It doesn't say, how shall they hear without somebody to do miracles? It doesn't say that faith comes by seeing miracles and by watching signs and wonders and seeing people speak in tongues. It says, it comes by the hearing of the word of God.
That is a very denial of the whole claim. Blessed are those who believe and do not see.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that I think, you know, it's hard to argue with people's experience. You know, so someone will come, are you saying, I had this happen, I saw this happen out in the mission field? And, you know, then you're put on, you're in a real focal struggle because somebody's saying, I witnessed something, as opposed to, well, hold on, what does the Word of God say? I always want to ask these people this great question. How do you know it's from the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You see, one of the things that 1 Corinthians tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 when we get to tongue speaking is that, and I quote this here. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, yet for all that they will not hear me." Do you know what was just said? What was just said is that because of the hardness of their hearts, because of their unbelief, God spoke to them with other tongues for judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So the tongue speaking was for judgment. It was for judgment against those people. And if you were to go back to Isaiah 28, of which that is the quote, I just want to read this and, you know, we can interact with this briefly because our time is short. But listen to what it says. "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go." Now, does this apply today? "And fall backward and be broken and snared and caught." What I'm saying to people is, how do you know? If you're called to test the spirits, what you're receiving is not directly from the devil, since there are lying signs and lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2.
Exactly. And, you know, that background of tongue speaking as judgment also comes back in Acts chapter 2, because Peter is speaking not just to some plain vanilla people in the Roman Empire. He's speaking to Jewish people, to people who knew this Old Testament background that you were just speaking about, people who should have known that this was the Christ whom they had crucified. And Peter was calling them to faith. And if they would not believe, then this tongue-speaking was a sign of judgment on them.
So then, Les, how are we to view all this today? You know, again, I stress the point of experience. You know, here you have on one hand people's experience, and then we have, thus saith the Lord, written down for us. So then that leaves us with few options, doesn't it, how we are to interpret all this?
Well, one option is to view it as a purely psychological phenomenon.
Right.
That the power of suggestion is incredible. In fact, I once knew a woman who was a member of one of my churches, of which I was a pastor, and she used to be a Pentecostal. And she said that she spoke in tongues. And she acknowledged that she had pretended to do so, and that she just followed the example and she just imitated what others were doing. So this does happen. Maybe it doesn't happen very often. I don't know. But it does happen where, you know, this tongue-speaking thing, at least, I'm not sure about other signs and wonders, but we're talking about tongue-speaking, can be a psychological phenomenon. But I think there are other alternatives as well.
Well, and even if, just to highlight that, our time's running out, but even if we believe that this were still in place today, tongue-speaking, what's being done in the modern church surely does not at all fit the design of 1 Corinthians 14.
No.
If it were still. And so then, what is the last choice, Wes?
That it's of the devil.
The fact is, you look at it, Paul said that he was the last of the apostles, that those supernatural signs and gifts were given for a specific area, time in church history and a period when the gospel was going out. But when the word of God came, it came in all of its beauty and power to us, and we have this closed canon. We have all we need for a life of godliness and a life of the knowledge of the Savior Jesus Christ by whom we are saved. Well, we conclude our program today, and we hope that was a blessing to you. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace. With our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden, we come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or, again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.